In Sweden, the results of Sunday's election have calmed the markets for now, and Britain's unions call for a four-day work week. But will employers go for it? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Yet another fractured mandate, this time in Sweden, where Sunday's election has led to the two main parties nearly tied and the far-right Sweden Democrats gaining, though not as much as expected. Those results brought Sweden's currency, the krona, up slightly after it fell last month to its lowest level since 2009. The BBC's Maddie Savage is in Stockholm.
The potential rise of the nationalist anti-immigration Sweden Democrat Party had concerned a lot of businesses working within Europe. They are a party in favour of Swexit, a referendum on pulling out of the EU. And there were concerns that if they became the second largest party, that this could lead to a lot of economic jitters. In the end, although they did well, they didn't do as well as some polls had suggested. They became the third largest party. And really, it's been quite a calm reaction from the markets. Stockholm Stock Exchange is open with only the tiniest dip. And the krona, which has been at record low levels, has also seen an uptick. But on the other hand, the fact that there is a deadlock between the centre-left and the centre-right, no clear option for forming a government right now, there's going to be discussions which could take days, even weeks, that is going to add a certain amount of uncertainty.
So which sectors of business will be looking at this most closely?
I think private healthcare and education providers will be watching very closely to see what happens next. There's big divisions between the centre-left and the centre-right on privatisation in Sweden. So if there is some kind of cross-political bloc alliance, that could throw a lot of these issues up in the air. Housing companies as well. There's a huge housing shortage in Sweden and a lot of parties offering different solutions to that. So those will also be key discussions between the parties as they attempt to form a new coalition.
Maddie Savage, let's do the numbers. The British pound is up slightly against the US dollar after new figures this morning showed the UK saw its fastest economic growth in nearly a year in the period from May to July. The boost came in part from stronger consumer spending thanks to warm weather and excitement over the World Cup. And a shakeup at Alibaba, the Chinese e-commerce giant, confirmed reports from the weekend that Jack Ma, its co-founder and chairman, will step down next year. Now, as Beijing warns this morning of more retaliation to any further U.S. tariffs, another of America's trade relations is under the microscope today. European Union and U.S. trade negotiators are meeting in Brussels to hammer out sensitive issues. Amongst the potential discussion points, the U.S. wants to be able to send more agricultural goods to the EU, but it has strict regulations against genetically modified food. Luisa Santos, Director of International Relations at Business Europe, explains what's at stake today.
We think that the two sides have an interest in avoiding a trade war. We are each other's biggest trading partners, so we are rather positive and we think we can make some progress. I think it will be in the interest of both business from the US and Europe if we improve the trade between us, for instance, by eliminating the tariffs on industrial goods, and also working on other barriers that we face when we enter each other's markets. There is an understanding on both sides what a meaningful trade agenda can mean for both. The US wants to include agriculture. It's not the EU, is not willing to discuss agriculture, but this means we will also have to include topics that are important for us, like, for instance, access to public procurement markets. So if we manage to have a more reduced and targeted agenda, we might be willing to make progress faster than if we start including more and more topics. I think the U.S. does not want to have a trade war with all its partners. So I think there is an interest in pursuing a positive agenda, having results.
Luisa Santos. Here in Britain, the biggest federation of unions, the TUC, is calling for a four-day work week. Its general secretary argues that advances in technology shouldn't just benefit bosses and shareholders, but workers too. The BBC's Coletta Smith reports.
The government has high hopes that new technology could boost the economy by hundreds of billions of pounds over the next decade. The TUC believes business should be made to share those benefits with their workforce, rather than shareholders getting any extra profit from tech investments. Their research suggests that if people were given the choice, most would opt for a four-day week, allowing people to work less while keeping the same pay. Just as governments have brought in rules for a minimum wage and sick pay, The unions now want companies to be forced to cut working hours while protecting pay. At the moment, though, the trend is going in the other direction, with TUC statistics stating that more than 1.4 million people now work 7 days a week.
Coletta Smith. Well, one British company that's voluntarily gone to a four-day week is IndieCube. Its boss, Mark Hooper, says the results so far are encouraging.
Technology has given us more opportunities to work less time, but we're not taking it. And we know we're not being more productive with all the hours that we're working, but we're becoming more stressed. So if it does nothing more than has people who work for you who are less stressed, that'll benefit us in productivity at the end of the day anyway, because, you know, happier people work better.
But some technology could replace workers entirely. So where's the balance between productivity, wages and growth? Will Strong of the Autonomy Institute, a think tank that looks at the future of work, says that's exactly the question society needs to answer.
How does the state, how do unions and how do employers come together to have a very productive economy, a technologically advanced economy, but one in which there's a tangible benefit for everyone involved?
Will Strong there. And in London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.